Yes, I'm on the phone.
Okay. Ready.
Mics are live.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Chrisman, one of the Public Service Commissioners, and I'm joined here with Julie Fedorchek, one of the other commissioners. Our Commission Chairman, Brian Crashus, is calling in remotely, so he's listening to you as well. I'm aware of having Andy Gibson and Julia Redmond Carter calling in. And in the room with us from our Public Utilities Division staff is Victor Shook, and Steve Call is kind of running the controls here. He's our executive secretary. This is a boomerang wireless. Refresh me on the terminology, Victor.
Eligible telecommunications carrier.
ETC carrier case. And it's PU. Our number for this is PU-13-203. Today is March 18th, 2020, and it's 1:37 p.m. right now. This is an informal hearing, and so it involves only undisputed facts. If we run into disputed facts, we'll have to wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. In this case, the applicant goes first, but ahead of actually getting into that, I don't have any opening comments. I want to offer the other commissioners the opportunity. Commissioner Fedorchek, did you have any opening comments?
I don't.
And Commissioner Crashus?
I do not.
Okay, either Mr. Gibson or Ms. Redmond Carter, is it like Redman-Carter? Am I understanding it correctly?
Correctly, that is it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioners. We appreciate you taking time today to walk through this. We had previously sent some documents, including an outline and several attachments. And unless you think it's necessary, I won't read every word in that outline, but I would just make some opening comments at a high level. And then I will, if it's all right, ask Ms. Redmond Carter to fill in any details and answer any questions you might have at that point.
But I think that would be good. There's probably some resistance that would like to hear you read every word, but I think it would be okay to do otherwise.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. As you are aware, Boomerang Wireless LLC was designated in the state of North Dakota by your designation in 2013 as an eligible telecommunications carrier. And part of the original ordering clause is a provision that required the company to provide customer and/or waiver information to the commission for verification that these individuals did meet the requirement of the Lifeline program. That happened back in 2013, and we have, of course, in the industry seen a lot of changes since that time. We had attached, for your convenience, a timeline that shows the changes that have happened since that time. Of course, there's now a national verifier and really a totally different system to verify that individuals either meet or don't meet the Lifeline requirements. And unlike the situation back in 2013, back in those days, the company had to obtain information and then would verify it, and then I believe your commission or staff would check it as well. Now, the company doesn't have access to the database of the national verifier. That's all done at the federal level. And for that reason, we had filed in October 30th, a petition to amend the designation to remove that particular section, that particular requirement that the company provide this information anymore. For one thing, the information is maintained and is determined at the federal level outside the company's ability to even to access. So, and of course, it's important to note that the National Verifier system went launched with a hard launch in North Dakota in January of 2019. So there's been enough time to make sure that the system is working. I think Julia, Ms. Redmond Carter, who incidentally, she is actually quarantined at home, and I think she told me earlier today everyone at the company is working remotely from home because someone had been exposed or to someone else who had been exposed. Nobody's exhibiting symptoms, thankfully, but they're all in quarantine, working remotely due to this coronavirus. But I think she told me that, that since the hard launch in 2019, of course, the National Verifier has worked well, obviously, in your state. And that's just a high-level summary. Be glad to go into any of the additional details. We also attached, in addition to that timeline showing all the changes, that's attachment two. We attached the current Lifeline application form, the federal worksheet, and then the form of the waiver that was originally required back by the original 2013 order. So that's a high-level overview. Julia, would you like to add anything, or feel free?
No, I don't have anything to add at this point, but I'm willing to answer any questions or help out, explain anything, et cetera. I'm sure you probably have been through this before.
Okay. So that is our request. We respectfully request that the order be amended to remove that requirement, since it is it's neither legally required nor is it practically functionable any longer given the National Verifier implementation.
Well, I'm going to say that, you know, way back when we implemented the requirements that we have, that we had in North Dakota, it was because, I'll just speak for myself, but I think it includes certainly others as well, a lot of concern about potential fraud in this system. And, you know, I'm reflecting back to the old news reports we used to see where, you know, they were being distributed. And I never was aware of this occurring in North Dakota specifically, but I actually had in some instances even acquired monetary values that kind of correlated with commonly traded illegal narcotics amounts. And so it seemed like around the nation there was certainly the potential for some abuse. And so North Dakota put in this requirement for some verification. A lot of we collected the data, but a lot of the verification needed to occur through another state agency. In retrospect, it turns out that they were maybe unable to do as much with that data because of HIPAA, or I don't know exactly why. But as it turns out, they weren't necessarily able to do as much as certainly what I had hoped at one time. And so I don't know how useful it really was either. Beyond that now we have the National Verifier, and that you don't necessarily have access to all the information anymore, there's also the reality that it might not be as useful. But here's one of the things that concerns me with your application in general. In just looking at customer numbers on that are getting Lifeline support in North Dakota, how is it? And because I haven't seen your company have a real big non-tribal presence, so I'm just going to look at the columns of tribal customers. You know, I go back to 2015 and Well, then it was well over 1,000 in 2016, almost 2,000 customers. And we get up to 2019, and it's like not even 260. Why shouldn't I be suspicious that that had to do with marketing practices a few years ago that I probably wouldn't approve of?
This is Julia. I'm going to give you an answer for that. The timing of that started, we were very active. Boomerang had focused on what we called smaller areas for people that didn't usually have it. Part of it is because we tried to avoid issues with duplicate subscribers and that came out of the higher areas where you had a lot of lifeline providers already reaching out to those customers. We started to focus our energy on the rural areas and on tribal, and tended to focus in those areas and get out to them where you didn't have a lot of ETCs out there already, which is why we had a huge increase in the tribal areas, and we worked with the tribes, et cetera, to go through that whole process. In the end of 2017, the FCC put out a future rulemaking and notice of inquiry that basically cut down wireless carriers from doing service potentially at all for tribes, of which we are one. They were based, the order was requiring that you could only provide wireless service to an area than which you already had facility infrastructure. And many of the tribal areas don't have facility infrastructure. But it also limited us as a wireless carrier of being able to provide them service. So Boomerang was very active in the role of challenging that, but at that point we literally stopped our reaching out and going out and physically setting up events. We did it through just notifications. We did it through our website. We put notifications out there that they could get to us via the website, but it forced them to be able to have be able to have access to the website and have facilities and all of those other pieces to be able to reach us and apply. As a result, our tribal base was significantly increased. We did get a waiver of that and that was eliminated, and we won that battle in an order that came out in 2019, I think it was, as I recall, February or January of 2019.
DC Circuit, federal decision.
Yeah. Right. And so, and it was that waiver that protected us that said, no, we should be able, wireless providers are not limited to where there is infrastructure to be able to provide service to tribes. At that point, we started to go back, have to restart our process again and ramp up, which is what we've been trying to do, and which means going back to each of the tribes as well and having to go through our process for each of the tribes. Each tribe has its own process for approving us to be able to give lifeline to their consumers. So that explains the drop, because we dropped because we didn't know if we were going to be able to give service to Lifeline for almost a year and a half.
So when you explain that, did that require you as a provider to have that infrastructure in the tribal areas, or was it that you couldn't do this if no one had physical infrastructure? Because as far as I know, most of our tribal areas have at least landline carriers that are there and providing and promoting their Lifeline product.
Right. So the Communications Commission had proposed in a notice of proposed rulemaking in an order to eliminate to let me back up just one second. A few years ago, the FCC waived the general ETC requirement that facilities be provided either through a company's own facilities or in combination with their own facilities and resole services. They waived that with a general forbearance order for wireless ETCs providing Lifeline. That really was the and is the basis of Boomerang's business model. Boomerang does not have its own facilities. It's a reseller, and it provides a Lifeline, and that's the only product it provides. So that forbearance, though, was taken away by an action at the FCC level. Was it 2017? I think it was. And then that resulted in some litigation. It went to the D.C. Circuit, and the D.C. Circuit sided with the – actually, some tribes challenged that and sided with the tribes and said, yes, these services can be provided by resale only and don't have to be provided in combination with actual facilities on tribal lands. So it's a company-specific requirement, and that is what litigation was about, and now that the D.C. Circuit made that decision, Boomerang is back to its business plan of providing resale Lifeline services on tribal lands.
Okay.
Julie, did you have anything to add to that?
No, just takes time to get back out to each of those tribes.
So this is Victor Shook with commission staff. The documents that the commissioner was just referencing were some reports that I had ran for him from NLAD that just kind of you could run reports from that system kind of on a statewide basis that gives you a breakdown by company, by month, and by type of user what how much they were getting from the Lifeline program. So it was just some things I was looking at in the past, and kind of like he was alluding to, they had given us reason to pause, you know, kind of looking to when Boomerang began providing service in North Dakota in late 2013, early 2014. You know, in the year 2014, Boomerang collected about $1.1 million from the Lifeline program for North Dakota customers, all the way down to 2019, where you only collected $113,000. So we saw, you know, quite that significant change in your customer base from back when there was very minimal regulation on verification of your customers to 2019, when we have the full full rollout of the national verifier. So on the surface, it certainly appears that there potentially could have been some fraud in there, and I think that's where our concern area lies with this.
That's certainly understandable conclusion you could draw from those numbers, but we'd be glad to submit copies of the FCC decision back in 2017, and based on that decision, Boomerang was making business decisions not to renew, not to continue, because it appeared at that time, absent a court order, that the ability to provide a Lifeline via resale on tribal lands was going away. In fact, it did go away for a period of time, and it was only reversed by that early 2019 court decision that said, no, on tribal lands, the company can continue to provide these services via resale. So, frankly, the reason Boomerang filed this application for an amendment to with your commission here is so that it can continue its renewal of efforts to make these offerings on tribal lands in North Dakota and expand those services that at one time appeared to be being discontinued by the FCC. But that really is the basis for that drop.
Rather than you providing us with all those documents, is there like a FERC order number of the order that that caused your dilemma and a, like the name of the court case that overturned it?
Yes.
That would, if you could just give us that, I think that would be sufficient, at least to me, for our record.
Yeah.
Sure. Give me just a minute and I'll look that up and we'll have it.
Okay. Commissioner?
If you happen to have a copy of that order handy, I'm going to go back and see if I can find it.
I can attempt to look at it. If I were in my office, I know where I could grab it.
And you can submit that later. And like I say, I don't think we need necessarily the whole cases. If you can just give us a reference number to each.
Yes, I will. We'll get that and we'll submit that as a supplement.
Then you can stay focused here and we'll see what other questions we might have of you and we can wrap this up and go about our other projects. Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have any questions?
I don't.
Commissioner Karashis?
I do not, thank you.
Mr. Shook?
I would.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Julie Rubner-Carter again. I would like to also note that Boomerang has been through many, many audits, particularly during that period as well. And I do have an audit sheet that I had been keeping up that kind of lists on where we are. So I will be glad if you want to provide you a list. It lists all the audits that we have been subjected to through USAC or any state agency, et cetera. And we have not had findings that indicated that we had any kind of fraud or abuse going on in any of those audits. So I'll be glad to send you that summary where you can actually see what we had when we were audited by who, and then the results of those audits, if they found anything, at all. And what was the result of each of those. And I'll be glad to provide that. I've provided it to other folks. Some states ask for it, and I try to give it to them just because I think they should know that we're compliant.
Okay, that'd be great.
We work very hard. So I will be glad to provide that if you'd like. If you can see what's been happening since I started doing these in 2013.
Okay, that'd be very good. Did I ask you, Victor, did you have any more questions?
I don't have any other questions. Otherwise, I think their filing is in order. We just had those kind of those concerns that we had just worked through here. But otherwise, there's no other problems I have with the filing. So,
okay. Then, Mr. Gibson or Ms. Redmond-Carter, are there any objections to the evidence produced here becoming part of the official record? And when I say the evidence, I'm talking about the information you sent us earlier, as well as the recording of this informal hearing and the information that we've requested that you're going to send us yet.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay, so that evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record?
No.
Commissioner Karashis?
Nothing else.
Okay, very good. We will close this informal hearing on case number PU-13-203 with Boomerang Wireless. We thank you for your time, and stay safe, please.
Thank you. You too. Take care. Goodbye.